The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 gives you passion with Dr. Lori Petito. What you need to get your relationship to the next level. Here's Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight, we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. Alternative sex, a regular feature here on the program. And tonight, you can ask your questions about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or if you will, submission and domination as well. Or just simply, you know, kinky sex, whatever, the kinks. That's a band, right? Pierre and Catherine are here of BDSMCircle.com, as they are every month. Thank you very much for being here. And I have to also say thank you for your collaboration in my book, because we did do a chapter on stretching the boundaries, and albeit we...
It turned out great.
We liked it.
It was very basic, right? It was just about, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, about stretching those boundaries and what are some of the rules and how you start to do that. Because obviously, this was a book written for people over 50 who wanted to maybe experiment a little more, get out of a boredom, spicing it up a little bit, and, you know, just starting to look at it, not really.
But we thought your approach was perfect, because you're starting from the basic, explaining a bit of the philosophy, not too much, because your book covered a lot of stuff.
Well, it covers a lot of ground. Yeah.
But I mean, we thought it was great.
Page 139 for anybody interested.
We've actually found that a lot of people don't actually get into BDSM until they're older, often until they're like late 30s or 40s. So you're not that far off.
Isn't that interesting? I want to talk about that, actually. But first, before we do that, all week we have been celebrating. This week we've been celebrating our birthday, our 15th birthday, 15 years of passion. So in honor of that, we've been giving away a book. So one of the free copy of the Sex Bible for people over 50, the complete guide for sexual love for mature couples.
Book.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
By yours truly, as well as an exclusive invitation for you and a guest to attend my VIP book launch on September 16th. So this is you have to answer a question. Basically, you have to answer a question, and the first caller through with the right answer gets the prize. I just hope Ryan in Master knows the answer to this. What did the billboards advertising my show say? 514-790-0800. I hope you know the answer, Ryan. You do know it, right? You know the
answer?
I think
so.
Okay, you better know the answer. Although you were probably still in diapers at that time, but nonetheless.
Laura, actually, I wasn't here the other day when you celebrated your 15-year anniversary, and I just wanted to wish you on the air a very happy 15th anniversary to a great show and a special lady, and here's to 15 more years to
Passion.
You're
so sweet. Thanks, Ryan. And thank you for being part of the show. You are often on here, and you started our Boys Club feature and all of that, so thanks go to you as well, because it takes a village to make this show work.
I heard your anniversary show on last Friday. It was great.
Yeah, last Thursday we did our anniversary show.
Thursday.
So again, I'm going to repeat this question. What did the billboards advertising my show say? When Passion first came out 15 years ago, we had these huge billboards, you know, those big signage billboards on DeCary, the DeCary Express, on the 20 and other strategic spots. That caused a little bit of a stir. What did those billboards say? You have to be, I guess, a real fan and a longtime listener, or at the very least, a Facebook follower to know the answer to that one. So the first person through with the right answer at 514-790-0800 will get a copy of the book, a signed copy of the book, along with an invite, special invite to attend the book launch on September 16th. Good. As you follow on Facebook, I know. All right, so we thought this is, the beginning of a new year for us, and maybe it's time to get back to basics.
We agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where do we begin talking about BDSM? Where do we begin with what are the basics, in fact?
Okay, I think...
Two consenting adults. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Two consent. And by consent, it means you've talked together. You You understand what's happening. You've set down the basic ground rules. You've set up a safe word, which is basically because part of the play may be that someone's going to go, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Where they're really going, yeah, yeah, right?
More.
And
So in other words, no can mean yes in this situation
exactly.
If you've agreed upon it
well,
ahead of time.
That's it, yes. Because okay. That could be part of the role playing. So that's what one of the reasons a safe word is so important, because sometimes it's fun to pretend to resist. And because, you know, if you're forced, then it's not. You know, there's no responsibility anymore for it, right? So it's role playing and it's fun. It's a bit of kink, and basically, you know, you start with consent. You start by talking about some of the things you're going to do, you don't want to do. Often they'll go through what's called a BDSM checklist, which is possible things to do, and you'd say yes or no, maybe ever, mm-hmm. So that they get an idea.
So you it's almost like a fantasy checklist. Are you willing to try this? Exactly. Not willing to try this? Let me just put you on hold yes. for a minute and speak, see if John actually has the answer. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Dr. Lori.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So what's the answer?
Honk if you're horny.
That's one.
You got it. John, you're
honked.
The winner. Who just
you
honked,
very
much. Yeah. So, John, I'm looking forward to meeting you at the launch. You're going to get an invitation by email, so I'm going to put you on hold, and Ryan's going to take your email address for me, all right?
Thank you very much. Love
all
your
right.
show.
Thank you so much, John. See you there. All right, take care.
That's cool.
Yeah, honk if you're horny. That was
I love it.
Quite funny.
I didn't know that.
And you
That's
had
great.
Problem yeah. because of that?
Well, think about it for a minute, right? We had parents calling in. All right, Ryan. We had parents calling in saying, I don't know how to explain the word horny. To my kids. Like, that's really the kinds of calls we got. There was a lot of honking going on. That was, I was often myself on the DeCarry. So it was really fun to watch it happening. And then, so it was a bit disruptive, maybe to the people who lived around there. But the biggest complaint, we didn't get too many, but the biggest complaint was, I don't know how to explain this to my kids. They're reading this out loud and I'm stuck, meaning the parents were saying, I'm stuck having to explain the word horny. And I don't know how to do it, and I resent you for it. Don't put me in that position. So that was part of it, you know?
That's strange.
Yeah, well, strange. Stranger things have happened, I suppose. So we're talking about alternative sex,
yep.
BDSM, where to begin. And, of course, if you're going to explore this, the very first thing you need to do is have consent. Have two consenting adults. Have two very willing partners, not where... You have to convince the other, you know, and
it's
by harassing them to do it,
it's
right?
It's the worst thing you can ever do, because you have to want it. If you do this against your will, it's no longer fun. And I think you would agree that sex have to be fun.
Of course. It's not just against your will. Some people misinterpret consent for submission or submission for consent, meaning that if you keep harassing me to do something that I don't want
to
do and I finally
to bully
said
somebody
right,
into it, of course.
Exactly. If
yeah.
if I feel like I'm saying yes just to stop the bullying, then I'm submitting to consent, which
yeah.
is not really consent.
It's not a good
well,
way.
Well, okay, when you're negotiating, it has to be a willing consent. It has to be not under duress, not anything.
Shouldn't it be eager? Like, shouldn't it be, yeah, let's try that together?
Well, sometimes it can be, well, I think that kind of sounds scary but fun. You can sometimes
okay.
have that,
right,
too.
Right,
because,
right.
you
a
know,
little apprehension.
Yeah, and sometimes that's fun, but,
yeah.
you know, there has to be a trust there. But it's really important to really talk things over because, you know, sexuality is so primal that you can be playing with somebody and having a scene and having a great time, and suddenly you do something that may not seem like such a big deal to you, and they're just want to freak,
right.
you know.
And you don't want to be freaking out your partner.
No, exactly. That's not really sexy.
This is
right.
why the negotiation, the talking is so important.
Oh, you absolutely, you need that. We're talking with Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. And if you have questions about alternative sexuality, meaning anything to do with BDSM or kinky sex or something that you want to try and you've been wondering about or you have questions about, give us a call here at 514-790-0800.
This is Passion with Dr. Lori Petito. On News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Some people like it a bit rough. You like that song, Catherine?
I do.
Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. Liking it rough doesn't mean you want to be hurt or that you want to be raped or that you want any of those things. I think we have to make it very, very clear on that. But it also means that two people have to want it and enjoy it. Like, I was talking to somebody who was telling me that their partner likes it really rough, but they have a hard time with that. It's not good for them. Mm-hmm. So how do you, you can't really do that if one partner is getting turned off by it. Like, what if the person is rough with you and you want it soft? What do you do?
Okay, if you allow me, Catherine.
Okay.
Usually what we suggest to people is if your life partner cannot do it, discuss with him limits and go out of your relationship.
Oh, but what if you don't want to do that? What if you don't want? What if you want to stay monogamous?
You know what? There's also, and if it's not something that grosses you out, you take turns. Sometimes you do it soft. Sometimes you do it rougher, and you talk. You know, really frankly about what your limits, how rough you're willing to go.
Okay.
You know, you can hold me down, but you can't. You know,
right? Don't so hold you can me compromise on it.
Compromise, exactly, and you know. You may find that it's not so bad after you try it a couple of times, or, you know, you'll just kind of endure it. And then the next time's that. You're doing it for your partner that you love. I mean, if you want to stay within a monogamous relationship and you love this person, then
compromise.
That's where we've seen that most happen.
Then you can reverse the thing. Maybe the partner can do something that you like for you.
Right, exactly.
You
know,
I think where you draw the line is when we have one partner who, say, really likes dirty talk but degrading talk, and the other partner does not take well to it, does not appreciate.
Well, that could be a limit, simply a limit saying I don't like to be called like this, and you don't. That's the whole thing. You don't have to endure something against your will.
Right.
Yes, you may compromise, but if you being called a certain word,
right,
really
that you have that
you,
that really triggers something
maybe
in you, forget it.
Particular word no. that don't yeah. call me that.
That's it.
You know,
it's
say
part,
other things.
It's part of the limit. And that is something, if you want to try something new, research it first. Start slowly. Let's say you want to do bondage and it's the first time. Don't use big rope. Try to use a scarf or something like this. Mm-hmm. Do it lightly. Experiment. And then you're going to discover that there's thing that we call pressure point where you cannot put a rope or something like this for circulation. And you're going to discover this slowly. But start slowly. We see people that they say, I'm going into bondage and I want to suspend somebody. It's like, no.
Right.
Just for clarification there, when he said big rope, he doesn't mean use like string or a very tiny one. That actually is easier to cut off circulation.
Okay.
What he means is you don't want like a super, super long rope that it gets, you know, really complicated trying to tie somebody up. But you do want one that's, you know, at least as thick around as like a finger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just to be clear there.
But Pierre said something about those pressure points that you have to be careful not to cut off somebody's circulation.
It's really important.
Well, I imagine so, but I'm also thinking, do people actually think about that? You know, who are just getting in it, who may not research it.
Well, hands will start to
this.
Go red.
Yep.
Hands or your, let's say your breast will start to go red or discolored. Then
you better stop. You better release.
Yeah, stop, release, right?
If the hands or the part of the body you're doing bondage gets cold, you stop. It gets white or something like this, you have to check. You have always
to be... it sounds dangerous to me.
There's...
Anything is dangerous.
You know, don't start with suspension. Don't put anything around the neck. Use common sense. Have something nearby to be able to cut it off.
Right.
There's something called the safety scissors that actually has like a little flat part on the side, which they'll use in like medical situations too, that you can actually slip under a rope if you've got a rope tight.
Okay.
There is a special scissors to be used, but at least have scissors or something, a knife around that you can cut it off if there's a problem so you can get it off quick.
Some people don't like knife, but I mean, what Catherine is saying is be ready, and this is something really important. When we prepare a scene, the scene can go wonderfully well and there's no problem, but what if it's not going well? You have to be ready. You have to have plan B, plan C if something happens.
I guess part of it, we're talking about BDSM and really we've gone back to the basics tonight. You say prepare the scene. Now that's common language to you, but not to me or to
others. Decide what you're going to do in advance.
Mm-hmm. And your play?
In the play or in the scene, in the time, session, and try and stick to that. Don't
come
up
with
this great idea of, oh, I'm going to tie you up there from off of that. You know what? That's for next time. That's not for On the Spur of the Moment. That's for next time, because you have to really decide how you're going to do it in advance.
So you really have to plan it.
If you're an experienced player, you can go on Spur of the Moment, because you often have a dungeon, everything is ready, and you say, oh, I'm going to do this. You just go and get whatever you need. But when you're starting, you don't
have
everything.
Most people who start do not have dungeons.
No, but that's the whole thing. So you have to prepare. If you want to tie up the hand of your partner, you need the scarf to be ready, right. As stupid as it sounds.
Right.
If you want to do an insertion, let's say with a vibrator, you have to have it ready with fresh battery or whatever
with
you want.
Fresh batteries, yeah.
Lube.
Washed lube, you know, all of your stuff next to you.
Exactly.
You
know
what? No, that's true.
One of the really easiest things for beginner bondage is you take a pillowcase, you have somebody put their arms behind them, mm-hmm. and you slip the pillowcase up over the arms. And then what you do is you have them pull the arms out to their side, and if they're slim enough, you can just lay down. And so their arms are actually in bondage.
In the pillowcase,
their body's on it, holding them there.
It's
something that's really non-threatening, because, you know, if there's a problem, you just
take
it off, but you'll feel restricted and things like that. So there's some imagination and go on the internet. There's lots of things you can do for a beginner that aren't as extreme, but they feel fun. They're still, you know,
restriction. We're going to talk about what restriction is and why somebody would actually like that. That's coming up next here on Passion on CJAD.
For more Passion, check out Dr. Lori's show page at CJAD.com. This is Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Tonight on the show, Alternative Sex, which means we focus on BDSM. If you have any questions for my guests, Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com, and we often do get questions about where to meet people, similarly minded people, and where to find people who want to engage in this, and you've got to figure there's at least 1% of the population, way more that are into this. I don't even know. Do you know the numbers? Have you seen
the different numbers we have seen? Usually, average around 10%.
10% of the population.
Now, some people just dream about it. Some people are actually active about it. And some people do it without knowing, and this is really strange.
Without naming it.
Right. If you include the people who actually do it without naming it that, it's more like 20%.
It's strange because if you look at all the kind of sexual plays, at some point you always have one of the person that is dominant and one that becomes submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And the position, I mean, you can...
Proactive and passive, however
you always have one active and one right.
So
or they can switch positions wherever they want.
And sometimes they think and some passive would enjoy the fact that she's or he's passive,
mm-hmm.
but they don't realize that it's part of the BDSM.
Right.
If they like to be
part
spanked.
Part of the power exchange.
A lot of people like to be spanked just for the pleasure of it. You know, they're making
they
love.
Don't, but they may not see it as kinky themselves.
They don't see it as kinky, and yet they're doing it. So
yeah, it's true. I know people who do engage in that and have never actually called it anything.
Exactly.
It's just knowing that that's what they like. So mm-hmm. very interesting. And I do want to talk about restraint. We only have a few seconds left before we go to the news. But some people don't enjoy being restrained for whatever reason. And others really enjoy being in that very passive position, right? Where it's...
And some slaves will enjoy it and some won't. Even people who will identify as submissive or slave.
Well, that slavery is not beginner's BDSM. To me. But we could talk about what it is to have a slave, and later on we'll even find out what a collaring ritual is or ceremony.
Yeah,
about slaves, we'll find out about that. I just don't like that word at all.
Well,
it's consensual.
It's consensual.
Yes, I know.
We call it like this, but it's consensual.
More on the other side of the news here on Passion.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sex. That means we focus on different ways that people have sex or express their passion for sex. Although this isn't just about sex. This is a lifestyle, isn't it?
It's a relationship. It's a different type of relationship. But for people who start and they want to start with the basics, before you become a slave or you become a submissive of someone or you have a coloring ceremony, just have fun. Just to make things that
make
you smile.
Well, it should be fun. And obviously, it is a stretching of one's boundaries for many people.
Yes,
exploring
certainly.
this world of BDSM or bondage discipline, sadomasochism, or I don't particularly like that term. I much prefer the dominant submission, submissive terminology, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, because slave has such non-consenting
connotations.
Well,
a slave I don't like.
Right?
And also the sadomasochism, I can only think of the Marquis de Sade.
And
he was gross.
When you know exactly how it works, it's so nothing. I mean,
I have to say, I have had subs or submissives who after a sadomasochism scene where I've flogged them for whatever long time, sometimes they'll giggle for an hour non-stop after because they've got so much endorphins going through them. If you're a skilled dominant, you know how to do it properly and you build it and it's a slow stress on the body. Mm-hmm. They get like almost like a high, which is like similar to runner's high for long distance runners. And they love it. It's not a bad thing. They're having a great time.
Right. But what I find interesting is that not everybody responds in the same way.
Nope.
And that's what we learn about sexuality even through this is that how come some people really do get off on this or enjoy so much or get such a thrill of that kind of buildup of pain, if you will, whereas others no interest whatsoever.
For the same reason that some people would prefer to make love in a certain way, it could be very soft. It all goes the way you were brought up, your experience in life, your traumatism that you had during your life.
You think it's related to trauma? A lot of people ask me about that, could it be related to trauma? And then I always bring up Catherine, who didn't have, related to trauma for her at all.
It may not be a big trauma. And this is where it's weird because...
It could be one incident, though.
It could be an incident.
It could be one thing where you saw somebody in boots, a school teacher that...
One of the examples I use is one that you told us. A kid goes to see his mom. She's wearing nylons. And each time he hug her mom, he feels the nylons. So becoming an adult, he wants to feel the nylons on the women
he
loves.
That's true. It brings comfort to
him. And it's the same thing. It doesn't have to be a trauma, but it's something that...
Some connection is being made somewhere.
Well, there's a freeing of inhibitions because there's something that people can say that, you know, if they've had a religious upbringing or whatever that'll make them sexually inhibited, they can, I was tied up. I really couldn't help it. I couldn't, it wasn't my fault what he was doing to me then.
Right. So it's kind of a release of... It's permission giving in
exactly.
a way.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of ways to look at this. And it depends on the people and that you're right. It's just that, yes, sometimes it could be a trauma. And usually if you use BDSM to try to fix a trauma, it's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, of course.
But for some people, it could be like the experience, the example you gave, I think, which is wonderful. It could be just something to get the feeling you had when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, that wonderful feeling. So, but yet, it's part of the sexuality.
But it's interesting that some things that you might experience that you associate with something pleasurable are not really pleasurable things. For example, like Catherine, your example, I think that,
building
you
the
know,
pain.
Well, no, when you were younger and you kind of knew and it was something that was turning you on.
Yeah, I just always kind of knew that the rough stuff was more exciting, certainly more fascinating. That's what I was interested in. That's when I'd stop coloring as a little girl if something's on TV. It's like, oh, what's
isn't
that?
Isn't that interesting? You know? And then I remember having a discussion with another another Dom, actually, this is a man who told me that when he was younger in the playground, where he saw like not a fight, but some playing where the boy pulled the ponytail of the girl.
He liked it,
and he liked it, and he actually replayed this the very first time. The very first time that he was with a girl, he pulled her hair and got slapped for it. Let me just say. He just thought this is what you're supposed to do if you like. He enjoyed it. And he realized that he enjoyed that. And so he carried that forward later in life.
I'm laughing because you're doing this. Do you know how many women likes to have their hair pulled when they're making love?
And that's BDSM. That's
and
part
that's
of it,
BDSM.
Isn't it?
And this is surprising. A lot of
it doesn't
like
have
it.
To be extreme.
No.
And the thing that nobody gets is nobody starts off with the dungeon. Nobody starts.
Nobody starts
off
as Catherine
with the,
and Pierre.
Well, you know what? It's like the clothes. Okay, the leather clothes. It takes years to build a wardrobe. I mean, that's expensive.
Here we have a text. I enjoy getting dominated and humiliated by girls always. Does this make me a weirdo? I think there's a lot of people who have this
makes
thought.
You submissive.
No, it does not.
So it makes you a submissive.
That makes you submissive. Many, many, many people have wonderful, functional lives, are wonderful contributors to society, and have
father,
a bit of a
mothers.
Kink in them. They're good. They're good parents. They're good
workers.
Sons and daughters and workers and good religious people. There's lots of people who are very religious that are BDSM as well. There's mm-hmm. whole groups of Christian groups and other religious groups
really?
That are absolutely.
And there's
more in the southern states, but for the most of the Christian groups. Mm-hmm. But yes,
and
absolutely.
There's nothing wrong to have a sexual fantasy. And if you want, you decide to act on them, do it safely. Start slowly. This is exactly what we're saying. And no, sir, you're not a weirdo.
Right. And find a partner who is also willing. You
willing,
have to find a consensual,
find
willing partner.
Fun.
And if you do have that, then whatever two consenting adults choose to do, as long as it's not hurting anybody, as long as it's legal.
Yeah, exactly.
What's, you know, it does not make you weird.
And the beauty of the internet is you can look around and find people, discover that you're not alone.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth.
This is one of the things that the internet did, by the way.
You bet.
And speaking of not being alone, you guys, I know some people who have listened to the show who have gone to some of your munches, as you call them, your get-togethers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know you've helped a lot of people connect to
actually,
others.
We made a lot of new friends.
Actually,
we met some cool people.
With
this. And actually, the next one is, it's not, I won't say where it is like this because we have to respect people. But if you go on our website, it says it's in the park. It's going to be outside. And it's just a gathering to meet people.
It's this Sunday.
It's a next Sunday. Well, this Sunday.
This Sunday.
This Sunday coming up.
And it's just a meet and greet, right?
And
bring a pop or bring something to drink and come and join us.
When you get the instruction, we're the really, really normal looking people sitting over there.
Yeah. We're warning you.
The people who are wearing in leather are not who you're supposed to go see.
No, that's someone else.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So just go on our website. Everything is there. And you're welcome. We hope to meet you, people. We want to see... make new friends.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sometimes I always feel like, you know, taking a picture. I mean, we did it once, right, where we took a picture of Catherine and posted it just so people could see, you know, the ordinary looking couple.
And it was such a rotten picture, too.
Oh, it wasn't so bad. Stop that right now. So, no, not weird, not crazy, not sick, just different. I think, is the key. It's just different.
And, you know, not even that different nowadays.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, look
I
at the
suppose you're
and everything
right.
That is coming out, you know, the video. And we talked about this often, the music video with all the leather and the action that is S&M or...
Well, look at the music. Ryan's choosing music.
Exactly.
I like it rough. I like, you know, I'm a kinky girl. All these things are... It's talked about.
And we look at the movie. For instance, we're looking at the series called Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of action that is dominant and submissive.
Oh, really?
There. And quite graphic. For the people who haven't seen the show, it's quite graphic. And we love
like
the show.
Like sexually graphic?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've got to see it. I haven't seen it.
It's an HBO 13, and I was shocked. I wouldn't want my 13-year-old if I...
Like a series that...
I'm sure it's probably the most graphic I've ever seen on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's time to watch a new
show. It's really good. I'm surprised.
We'll watch. 514-790-0800 if you want to text in at 514-800 and speak to Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. BDSM tonight on the program. Once a month, we do focus on kind of kinky sex or stretching the boundaries a little bit. Alternative sex is what we call this feature with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. So they are kind enough to come and you know, share their expertise with us every month. And what I find really great is that over the last couple of years that you've been doing with us, that we actually have reached a lot of people who wouldn't have known where to go for this kind of thing.
And we made new friends. And this is, I mean, for us, being
it's a
on
service,
your show,
really.
It's been a great adventure. It's a beautiful adventure. And by the way, each time we're here, we have fun.
Yeah, we do have fun.
You know,
that's why would we do it otherwise, right? We're not going to do it if we're not having fun.
Exactly.
So here's another texter says, I would love to go to one of those munches, but I'm not certain I would fit in. I'm not really BDSM, but I'm into fetish play. What's the crowd like? Is it bilingual? I'm an Anglophone.
Okay, well, obviously, I'm French Canadian.
Yeah, obviously,
it's absolutely bilingual. You
know? And obviously,
English
she's
is
not
my friend. My French is my blah blah. English is my first language. You'll hear lots of the language going back and forth. People are bilingual.
Okay.
As far as fetish, really, usually does come under BDSM. Mm-hmm. People have like latex, for instance, fetish or different
foot fetish or
foot fetish, boot fetish. That's usually considered under like the BDSM umbrella or the kink umbrella.
Okay.
And so you'll meet kink people. Now, you're not going to have everybody with the same kinks exactly. That's why you talk to them and you find out. It's pretty open, especially this one's going to be in a park.
Mm-hmm. There's no action.
There's nothing overt. Somebody could be walking by with their child and we can be there talking. And,
We're just talking.
We're just talking. Nobody's dressed funny. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dressed the way you would go to a park. And
this is important. We're doing this to introduce people to other people and to the lifestyle. We're there to have fun and to talk. Mm-hmm. You don't know something, you ask the question. There's no stupid question.
Right.
You know, and this is why we want to meet new people. So you're not sure, you want to kind of figure out what it is. This is why we're there. Come and ask and have a discussion with
us. And if you don't feel it to people.
Yeah. And if you don't feel like you want to be there anymore, leave.
Well,
like,
exactly.
You know, you always have the option.
Yeah, but everybody polite and
we would not allow the otherwise.
It's very non-threatening.
Right.
It's not, you know, you don't want to go out for your first time. You don't want to go to a club for the first time. You don't want to go to a bar and do one of those bar night things. You don't want to go to public night. Because, you know, you might meet people that you might go to a dungeon with, because that's, you know.
So those exist. What you're telling me is there are such a thing as a public dungeon.
Yes.
Well, sure there are. Of course.
There's a few.
There's several.
Where are they? Are they in secret locations? Is that
some
how
of
works?
Them are.
Some of them are. But usually they do their own marketing.
They do marketing.
But they do marketing,
right?
Within the crowd.
Okay, within the fetish community.
Within the fetish community, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's another thing. You want people that are like us. For me, I don't want to be the freak show of someone, you know?
That's very true. That's well put, actually. You don't want to be the freak show. And I think that's how some
different.
Of these people feel, though, is that they feel when they're in a crowd of people who are not kink or BDSM might feel freakish.
As one person said,
weirdo, right?
Well, like someone who's gay might feel if they're in, you know, a sea of heterosexuals, you know, and there's nothing weird about it. It's just different. And
and
that's one of the things is it's not all about sex when you meet somebody. You have to actually be compatible. And, you know, at these munches, we talk about other stuff too. I mean, you know.
We have other interests.
There's often friends that won't meet up.
I hope you have other interests.
And everybody looks, like I said, disgustingly normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like people are really
and
almost disappointed I'm not in a leather corset when they meet me. And it's like, well, you know.
And this is the whole thing. Because if you feel like a freak or you feel different, come with people that are like you.
Right.
And to discover that maybe you're just
like them.
Just like you.
So I want to know, what's the average age? And do men outnumber women like they tend to online?
Do you know what? It's weird. We've had more women than men.
Makes no sense.
How weird is that? And
really?
Normally, years ago, it was always, there was much more men. Now we're getting female submissives and male submissives and female doms. We're almost getting no male doms, which I find is really interesting because there used to be, like, 10 years ago, it'd be like, you know,
but that's traditional. That's almost like typical, you know, male should be dominant kind of thing. And now times have changed.
Well,
so maybe that has changed too.
There's more men that want to submit than there's men that
want to dominate.
It's
interesting.
It's really strange. Huh? And as age that goes, we had, I won't say teenager, but young adult to people that are retired.
Right. So you have the whole range.
The whole range.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, actually.
Well, sometimes. Well, I've asked for ID before because
are you
they
serious?
Look so
yes,
well
we
because
did.
They look so young,
so young.
That
wow.
I want to make sure I don't They're have 18. A 15-year-old right. sitting there. Right.
Okay, so, that's a good point. I'm
so
glad
I
you
have
say
asked
that.
For ID. Only I had to see it. I'm not going to say the person's name. Don't
right.
worry. But no, I have asked for ID because we are talking about adult things. So
right, and adult consensual adult sexuality, which I think you know that's very ethical on your part. So thank
well,
you for that.
We have
that's
no
good. We'll take a short break and come back. I have one more question for you that came on a text message about your website. So we'll ask you that coming up next here on Passion. Last question for my folks at the BDSMCircle.com, Catherine and Pierre. I was surprised to see so much porn on your site. Is that BDSM? That is pure porn, in my opinion. So I want to talk about your site a little bit. What do you think? What are they referring to?
Well, we do have some pretty racy pictures on there, some
okay.
stuff. Yeah, we do. Depends on what section you're in. But, I mean, it's definitely for adults. It's, it. You know, it's the subject is sex, you know,
yes.
kinky sex.
We're
so,
sex
and
kinky
sometimes
sex.
We get pretty graphic, you know, even in some of the kind of instructional things or the how-to or the guidelines or and things. I mean, we're talk very, very frankly.
Mm-hmm.
There is a section called Gallery, which is basically dirty pictures,
okay.
kinky
okay.
dirty pictures.
So, yes, it would
but,
be
yeah.
somewhat pornographic,
sure.
considered porn.
Sure.
But again, it's an adult site.
It is
yeah,
an
oh,
adult
absolutely.
Site.
And there's also parts that wouldn't be as considered porn. I mean, but they're all about sex. So,
right. Well, it's all informative, too. Like,
yes.
it's not, it, this is not, we're not talking about a porn site. We're talking about a website that has a thousand different pages of information, plus
yes.
obviously some
yeah.
pictures.
Yeah.
But
and,
it's
oh,
for
and
adults.
And stories, too.
And remember, it's a relationship that is different, too. So we talk about the relationship. We talk about, right now, we're writing an article about what we call no-hit zone, how to do S&M safely.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that next time
okay.
on the program. We've come to the end of this this show.
Yet,
yes, already. Thank you very much for being here with us, Pierre and Catherine. You can reach them at bdsmcircle.com and find out more about their get-together this Sunday, their munch, as they call it. Thanks to Ryan Ryder in Master Control. Up next, CJAD News, followed by Joey Elias and The Comedy Show. Wishing you a wonderful rest of the evening. And please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.